And we're holding Kuf Tes Amr Aleph at the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "I'm a Kabbal Sadim Achaveira." A person receives a field from somebody else, Lishonim Mu'atos, for only a few years, meaning less than 7 years. Lo Yizra and a Pishdan, he can't plant it with flax. Rashi explains that flax weakens the soil a lot. It takes a lot of nutrients out of the soil, so much that it takes 7 years for it to return to normal. Now Rashi also adds that, again, as we've been saying throughout the parak over here, most of the Mishnayos refer to either an oris or a choicher, but not both. In this case, Rashi says it has to refer to a choicher, because with an oris, what's the difference? Anyway, he's giving the owner a percentage of that crop, so therefore it wouldn't matter whether he plants something in there that weakens the land, because the fact is the owner is still getting his percentage of it regardless. Now, just as we had with a previous Mishnah where the Ramban disagreed, here also the Ramban disagrees. He says, yes, it is talking about a choicher, but on the contrary, he says, Rashi is saying that if it was an oris, then there wouldn't be any limitations. He would be able to plant flax or do whatever, but the Ramban learns the other way around. On the contrary, if he's an oris, then he can't, then he can only plant what he was told to plant. Because the owner of the field can say, that's that particular crop that I want. So, whereas in the Sefer, we're going to be saying that there are cases where he is allowed to plant it with flax, namely if the deal is for more than 7 years, and the Ramban says that wouldn't work by an artist. By an artist, he'd always be limited to whatever he was told to plant. Anyway, continues the mission of the Amoy Bekodis Shikma, and furthermore, if the deal is for less than 7 years, he's not entitled to the beans of the shikma tree. Rashi describes that the shikma tree is an eighth srak, meaning a non-fruit-bearing tree. From other places, it seems the shikma does actually produce fruit, but it's an inferior kind of fruit, so people don't grow it for the fruit primarily. Anyway, the main purpose people grow it for is the branches of it. You cut off the branches, and then the trunk gets there. Then when the branches are cut off, then the trunk becomes fatter and fatter. Well, first of all, the branches themselves are eventually become big enough to be able to use for beans, but if you chop them down, then also you have the trunk. We find in other places in Gemara, we'll find it in particularly in Bava Basra, the trunk itself becomes thicker and thicker, and therefore it's usable, so the branches and the trunk are usable for big, heavy beans. So now, if he's working this land for less than 7 years, he's not entitled to those branches that you chop off, because it's going to take years until it's going to take 7 years until it produces branches again. So in other words, if he can't in this first year there, let's say, chop off the branches and say, I'll keep them for myself, for beans or for firewood or whatever, because it's going to take 7 years before they start growing back. And therefore, obviously, that wasn't meant to be included in the deal. On the other hand, Kiblahim Menu will Zion Shanim, but if you receive the field as a choicher for 7 years, Shanur Shani Yisra and a Pishdan, then during the first year you can plant it with flax, because eventually it'll regain its full fertility at the end of the 7 years, and that way by the time he leaves, by the time the deal is over, it'll have regained its fertility, the Yeshvan Kodesh Shikma, and he is entitled to his percentage of the beams of the Shikma tree, because again, he can chop them down, and he can chop off those branches, and after 7 years, while he's still there, at the end of the 7 years, they'll be growing back already. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Abaya. Now, when we said in the Mishnah about the Kodesh Shikma Enloi, during the seven, if he's there for less than 7 years, he's not entitled to the beans of the Shikma tree to chop off the branches, as we said, to use for beams. But the Shvach Shikma Yeshloi, but he is entitled to a percentage, he is entitled to a percentage of the improvement in the Shikma tree itself. Meaning, in other words, we do have to figure out, well, how much has the Shikma tree grown during these years? And the fact that you have the branches are growing during those years, they are becoming worth more money. You can't chop them down, but we have to figure out how much they're worth, how much they were worth before, how much the tree is worth more now because of those. And then when he leaves, then he has to get his share of that. But Rava Omar, after the B'Shvach Shikma, Nami Einloi, Rava says that no, he's not even entitled to that. Because in other words, basically the machlokas is, the Raivad explains, basically the machlokas is, do we consider do we consider those branches that it's producing, do we consider those to be the peiros of the tree? Since again, the tree itself does produce peiros, but they're inferior ones and people don't usually use them for food. So do we consider the branches themselves to be the peiros, or do we consider the branches themselves to be part of the goof of the tree itself, and the goof of the tree itself is not entitled to because that was there before and it's going to be there when he leaves and he's there for less than 7 years. So the Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction on Rava. A Braisa says, I'm a Kabbal son of a Chavera, the Giz Manilotis. Person received a field from somebody else to work it, and it's his time to leave, the contract is over. Shomin Loi, we have to evaluate for him. So what are we evaluating him? My Rav Shomin Loi B'Shvach Shikma. Wouldn't that mean that, for example, we have to evaluate for him the value of the Shikma tree? Because in other words, Shomin Loi, and implying in other words, we have to evaluate whatever is there, including, for example, if there are trees there, we have to evaluate the improvement in that. And then Robert is saying no. The answer is Loi, Shomin Loi Yalka Vesoka. No, what it means is that we evaluate for him the value of the vegetables. Yalka is herbs, silka would be, silka or beets. That grow in the ground. So those kinds of things, we have to evaluate for him how much the improvement is to those. When I ask him, Yaakov Asilka, neck of a Nishko, what do you mean? We don't just shaman for him, we don't just evaluate for him how much the field has improved as was in value as a result of that, and he gets his share of that. We would have to actually, he'd be entitled to pull them out of the ground and keep them. So what are you saying? Shomin Loi, as though we only evaluate the value of him, and then the owner of the field keeps them, and he just gets compensated for them. And now also the Ramban adds, we can't say that in fact it means where they still need to grow, because for one thing, when the Braisa says Shomin Loi, implies that we figure out the value of the entire value of them. If they're still growing, we can't figure their entire value. First of all, they haven't finished growing yet, so they don't have a full value. And second of all, there always might happen something to the crop to damage them. So you can't say they have their full final expected value even now. And also the Ramban points out, since the Braisa is saying Giyas Mane Lotzis, that it's time for him to leave, if the vegetables are still growing, then it's not his time to leave yet. So the question is, so why are we saying, so evidently we're talking about where they're fully grown, well in that case, why Shomin Loi, why don't we tell him to just take, he just harvests them and takes them, he pays the owner of the field his amount as a choicher, and then he leaves. The answer is, they are fully ripe, but the day of the market has not come yet, and therefore we can't just take them and go, because they'll spoil by the time it's market day, so therefore we can only figure out for him how much they improve the field in value. So therefore we can figure out the full value of them, because after all, they're there in the ground, fully ripe, but nevertheless we can say that, we figure out only the value of them and not the entire, and not that he takes them and goes, but that still doesn't contradict Rava, who said that when it comes to a shikma tree, we don't figure out the value of the branches that are still on the tree, because that's different. Rava is going to say that those are considered part of the tree itself. Okay. The Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, I'm a Kabbal Sodom Achaveri, the Igiya Shvius. Another Braisa says that when a person receives a field from somebody else as a Choicher and Shmita comes, Shomin Loi, then we have to evaluate for him the value of the things in the field. Now, it sounds like it means his term is over, so first we have to fix up the wording of the Braisa. Shvius Miko Mafka Ara, since when does Shmita take away the land from its owner, from its choicher? Yovel does that. Shmita, you can't work the land during Shmita. All it means is that the chachirus is suspended for 1 year, but you still don't have to be shomin loy as if his term is over. So Ela Emaham Kabel Sodom Chaveri Gear Yovel Shomin Loi. You're right. You have to fix up the Braisa and say that it means when Yovel comes. So now at that point, on the face of it, it means that his chachiros is over because the field is returning to its owner. So therefore, so now we have to figure out how much he should be getting. Well, the Gemara says, why? Abakati, still, what do you mean? Yovel mi master kablonus? Does Yovel undo a kablonus, an arrangement of chachiros like this, where he's renting the land? Lutzmissus amarachmana. The pasuk says that Yovel makes without Yovel, the pasuk is saying that the land should not be sold perpetually. Lutzmissus means forever. And therefore you have Yovel that comes in and returns it to the original owner. But here, so when you're doing a sale, when you're doing what would have otherwise been a permanent sale, then Yovel undoes that and says that it returns to the original owner. But when you have an arrangement of chachirus, which is to begin with only a temporary thing, then Yovel shouldn't undo that. So there's no reason why the guy can't resume. Fine, again, during Yovel year itself, there's no agricultural work being done. But at least after Yovel, he should resume his chachirus and finish it till it's over. So the braisa still doesn't. So we still don't understand what the braisa means. So the Gemara says. So Ella ema halikeach sovim achaveri. So no, evidently we have to change the braisa and say it means when he buys a field from somebody else, the gear Yovel, and then Yovel comes shomin loy. So we have to evaluate for him, meaning the field is returning to the original owner, but we have to evaluate what are the improvements that developed in the field over the years, where now he's entitled to reimbursement for them. So what is the shomin loy? The chitema pochanami the shomin loy b'yarkuv asoka. You're going to say like in the previous brisa, what we mean is if you still have vegetables or beets or herbs growing over there, then you evaluate for him the value of those. Can't soka b'yarkuv the yovel hafkerahu, because such things that grow during yovel are hefker, and therefore there's nothing to evaluate for him. Well, now this field has beets or other vegetables or herbs in it, therefore it's worth more. Dirk Schmitty, you can't really say that because those are available for the taking for everybody. Ela lav shvach shikma. Evidently, then, the braisa must be talking about when it says you evaluate, must be, for example, that there's a shikma tree growing over there, where again, the branches, as they grow over the years, they eventually become thick enough to chop down and use for beans. Now, we're saying in the Mishnah that this is the schoker, when he's there for less than 7 years, he's not entitled to chop down those branches because they're not going to regrow. They're not going to regrow fully by the time he leaves. However, Abaya is saying that he is entitled at least to the improvement in their value. Rav is saying not even that. Well, if we're talking about, again, when a person sells a field to somebody else and then it returns to him in Yovel, and we're saying shomin loy, on the face of it, we have to be talking about that we shomin loy, we figure out for him the increase in value of the shikma tree. And so again, the question is, according to Rava, why should we? According to Rava, he's not entitled to it. Now, to be sure, the Braisa was saying we're talking about is talking about a Chofer. Here we're saying the Braisa is talking about a Lekeach. Before we were talking about a Chofer. So the Rashba leaves it a Tzorich Iyur and why the Gemara is comparing the two of them, but in any case, that is what the Gemara is doing. So again, the question then would be on Rava, why Shomin Loi? The answer is Tirgama Abaya, Alibadarava. Abaya explained the Braisa in order to explain how Rava would explain it. Shiny Hossam, that's different in a case where Yovel comes, the Omakrava Yotza Mimkar Bias, because the Pasuk says the sale of a house, for example, goes back in Yovel, implying mimka choser shvach ene choser. In that particular case, when you sell something and you return it by Yovel, you figure out the sale itself, the item itself, the field or the house or whatever that was sold, returns to the owner, but the shvach does not. In other words, that we don't just return it as is and say, well, the original owner gets to keep all the shvach. We have to figure out the value of it and give it to the one who owned it all those years, during whose time that shvach came to be. So you have Xeris HaKotzev by Yovel, that's how it is, but not by Makabel. So therefore, there's no reason to say, so therefore, yes, the Braisa can be saying, by Yovel, Shomin Loi, and that would include that he gets the improvement in the value of the Shikma tree. That doesn't necessarily follow that should apply to a regular case of a Chocher. Well, the Gemara asks for Nigma Minei. Well, no, if Rava is agreeing then that the Braisa is saying that in Yovel, you do return the thing and you figure out the shvach of it, and the original owner reimburses the buyer for that shvach, well, then let's learn from that. The same thing should be true as far as a choicher, when his time is over, that he should also be reimbursed for the improvements, including the shvach shikma. And the answer is, Hosim Zvini Malyahu. The difference is there, it's a full-fledged sale. So when he made improvements to it, when the branches of the shikma tree grew over the years, it was in his reshus while that happened. So now he's returning it. That's a yoivos trapped in the malchut. That's just the Torah says. The Torah is expropriating it from him and returning it to the original owner. But still, all those years, it was genuinely his. As opposed to a choicher, is that it was never his in the first place. He only rented it for a period of time, and therefore Rava can say that he's not entitled to his share of the shikma tree improvement in the branches. So the Gemara, so fine, so you've deflected the questions against Rava. So since, as usual, the halacha is like Rava against Abaya, so it is over here, then the halacha would be that he's not entitled to the shvach shikma if he's there for less than 7 years. Again, as the Mishnah had said, if he's there for 7 years, he's entitled not only to shvach shikma, he can actually chop the branches off and use them for beans, because over the course of 7 years, they'll regrow. So the Gemara tells a case. Rapapa kabo aral aspasta. Rapapa one time received land with chachirus arrangement where he was going to plant aspasta. And that aspasta is alfalfa or some other kind of greenery that's used for animals. Anyway, kodcho batoli, during the years when he was managing the field, trees grew over there in the field. And now when Rapapa's term was over and he's leaving, he says to the owners of the land, you should reimburse me for the shvach. The fact is now that the field is worth more because it has trees growing in it, so I should be entitled to compensation for that. So Rav Shisha Breder of Idi says to Rapapa, by your logic, if you're saying that you'd be entitled to something extra for the fact that those trees have made the land worth more, Elamayata, by your logic, Diklav Alim, if during the time that you were working the field, if there was a tree there already from before and it became fatter, Hokinami de Boy Mar Shvachay, are you going to also say, Rebbe, that you would have demanded the Shvach for it? What do you mean? The fact is, in other words, that even Abaya is not going to hold that. One thing with a shikma where it doesn't really produce fruit that's usable, so therefore we can talk about the branches growing is themselves considered the pre of it. But here you were working the field in order to plant aspasta in it. The fact that the trees are becoming fatter, the same way as you're not entitled to peiros from the tree, the same way, why should you be entitled to anything for the tree becoming fatter? Well, by the same logic over here, you didn't come over here to work the field having trees in mind, only having the aspasta in that you're going to be growing over there in mind. So therefore, why are you saying that you should be entitled to any compensation for them? Omalei, so the Papa answers, Hosam lava dai to the hochinochas. Because the difference is, yes, when a person is working a field and there was a tree in it, and over the years the tree got fatter, Itaka doesn't have in mind to get anything from the tree itself. What he has in mind from the tree at most is to eat the peiros of it. The fact that the tree itself gets fatter is no business of his. Well, me, when I took over this field, I had in mind that anything that grows over there would be something that I'd be entitled to a share of. And since trees have grown over here, then therefore I should be entitled to a share of those. Well, you want to ask Kaman Kabaya. Well, then who is your papa following in that? He's only following Abaya's opinion. Where we just said before that Abaya says he is entitled to compensation for the increase in value of the branches of the tree. So by the same logic, Rapapa is saying that he's entitled to compensation for the fact that there are trees there altogether. According to Rava, who says that he doesn't, that he's not entitled to Shvat Shikma, and that means even though Tosfos teaches out, even though in Rava's case also, you could say, when he started working the field, there was a Shikma tree over there. Conceivably, he might have been intending that he should get his share of that. Nevertheless, we're saying because he's there for less than 7 years, he's not entitled to anything from the tree itself. The same way over here. If a papa is there for only a couple of years, why should he be entitled to anything for the trees that grow there? And again, since the halacha is like Rava, then what is Rav Papa thinking? The answer is afilu tema k'Rava. You could even say that what Rav Papa is saying is like Rava says. Hosam less like Pseda, because in the case of the Mishnah, the chosho is not losing out from the branches becoming bigger. The tree was there all along. And the fact that it's becoming bigger, the fact that the branches are becoming bigger, doesn't prevent him from doing the work in the field, doesn't prevent him from plowing and planting the whole thing as he did before. Hacha Ika Pseda over here, Rav Papa can argue there is a loss to him because, after all, the place where the tree is growing is a place, the footprint of the tree is a place where now he can't plant his asfasta anymore. So you could say that therefore he's entitled to compensation. Amalei, but Rav Shisha still says, my psanticha. Okay, but in what way did you lose out? Yodadas Faska, you're going to argue then, based on what you're saying, that you're only entitled, that you're arguing your loss is that potentially you could have grown more asfasta in that area. Yodad literally means a hand, but Rashi points out the word yad sometimes can mean a place, like Ishal Yodad. So you're going to argue that you have the footprint, the area where the tree is growing in the field, is an area where you can't grow asfasta. So what's the problem? Why are you saying you're entitled to compensation for the value of the tree? Shkel yodad asfasta. So fine, tell the owner of the field that you're entitled to the amount of asfasta that would have grown in that space, the zil, and go. Why are you saying that you should be entitled, that we have to figure out the value of the tree, how much the tree is improving the value of the field, and you get your share of that? Why? That's a lot more than the worth of the asfasta that would have grown there. Amalei, so the Papa answers him, I'm not kurkuma rishka raboi, because in the place where the trees are growing, I wouldn't necessarily have planted only asfasta, which is something cheap. I might well have planted over there garden saffron, which is very expensive. It's a saffron is a spice that comes from the flowers of a certain plant, and it's a very expensive spice. There was a piece yesterday in the Gemara that said that when you're measuring land, you have to be very careful to measure it to the nth degree of accuracy, because even a tiny area you could plant in it is kurkuma rishka, and it would be worth a lot of money. The same way that Papa is saying over here, I would have planted something very valuable over there. So therefore I can argue that I'm entitled to compensation for what I would have planted over there. Omalei, sort of Shisha says him, Golis Adaitach. Oh well, but then by saying that, then since you're mentioning Kurka Marishka, now you could have said instead that I would have planted trees over there. And trees would remain there long term. Instead, you specifically mentioned kurkuma rishka, which is something that grows there only short term. Therefore, galus adaitcha, by saying that, you have demonstrated that you have your das, de la mishka vis, de loki avdus, that you would have wanted to plant there something which eventually you would take after it grows and you'd go away. You're not talking about that you would have planted something over there that would remain there long term. Evidently, you planned to plant there something that would last there only short term. Now the Rashba explains actually that Rav Papa is actually saying as a certainty, it's not I could have planted kurkuma rishka over there, I actually would have planted it over there, except that those trees started growing over there. So fine, but nevertheless, Rav Shisha, it points out to him, that means, in other words, you yourself were implying that you planned to plant over there something, only something that would be there short term. Well then, shko kurkuma rishka vizil, in effect, you could take your garden saffron, meaning, in other words, that you can treat the trees as though they were a temporary crop. So you would be entitled to cut, you would be entitled to remove those trees and take them. And if you're taking them, then it means they're now worth only as firewood because you're not planting them someplace else. So now they're only worth as firewood. So therefore, you, in short, you're entitled, you're not entitled to the value of them from the owner of the field, as though they were, for the amount they improve the value of the field. At most, you're entitled to the value of them as firewood. Now, Tosfos points out one possibility is that these trees couldn't be replanted someplace else. When you take them, if you take them from this place, then they're going to die, and therefore they're not worth. Therefore, you can say all they're worth is as firewood. Or Tosfos also says another possibility, because Rav Papa did not use the expression "I would have planted trees." He mentioned Kurkuma Derishka instead. And when you harvest, when you pull out Kurkuma Derishka from the ground, you don't plant it someplace else. So therefore, that means that you wouldn't have planted, you would not have planned, says Rav Shisha to Rav Papa, you would not have planned to replant these trees someplace else. Therefore, you can't talk about the value of them as they improve the field. You can only talk about them for the value of firewood, because that's what you're treating them as. Or not firewood necessarily, building wood, whatever. The point is, in other words, only as wood, only Dmei Eitz. Tosfos also adds a detail that it would have to be that these trees did not take any more nutrients out of the soil than the aspasta that he would have grown there, or than the kurkuma and the rishka. Otherwise, how could he say, I would have planted trees over there? He can't do that. If he received it for aspasta, and then he would want to plant something else over there, he can't do that without the permission of the owner. So therefore, necessarily, we have to be talking about that these trees, when they grew over there, they're not taking any more nutrients out of the soil than that. Or the type of trees, or the type of kurkuma that he would have planted over there wouldn't have weakened the soil any more than the aspasta. Magoris HaGra has several long notes over here that contrast this with the opinion of the Tur, where the Tur says it doesn't really matter, even if they do take more nutrients out of the soil, then it wouldn't really matter. He'd still be entitled to the value of the trees, but again, only as firewood, as Shisha is saying, because we're saying that he would have just planted something over there that would have grown there only temporarily, and therefore that's all he's entitled to, and therefore when you talk about compensation, we can't talk about the full value of it. All we can talk about is the value of the wood that he would have planted over there. So fine. The point is that Rav Papa's case over here is not only a point to Abaye. The reason why the Gemara brought this in over here is because it seemed that this din would work only a point to Abaye, but we're saying that no, actually even Robert would agree to it, because again, you can argue there is a certain loss over here in the sense that he could have planted something else there instead. Fine. So the Gemara continues with another case. Rabbi Ba'abaya Kabel Ara. Rabbi Ba'abaya also one time received land as a choker, and he's going to be planting it, and he's going to be planting it. Ba'ahadolei Meshunisa. Just to summarize, and then in the previous case, as far as the trees, after we finish the sugya, I guess then we'll summarize it. So anyway, Bibi Babai received this land, Bahadule Mashunisa. Now surrounding this land there was a ridge of rocks. Kodhobet Zradta trees started growing over there. Zradta is a type of tree that grows crab apples. So they started growing there on their own. Omalahu Kikamastalik, when he was leaving the land after his term was over, Omalahu, he tells the people who own the land, Hovali Shvachoi, give me my portion in the Shvach, the fact that these trees are growing over there and they improve the land. Omar Papi says to Rabibi, Mishumda Asiso Mimuloi, because you come from Muloi, which we'll explain in a second what Muloi is, Amitu Mili Muyasa. Therefore you say Muyasa things. Now, Muloi, Rashi explains, Rabbi Abaye, we find elsewhere in Shas, we find in Rosh Hashanah and in Yevamos, that Abaye was descended from Beis Aven. You have at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel where Eli's children, Hophni and Pinchas, were not treating the Korbanos with respect and doing certain other Averas, and therefore the very serious Nevuos were set against them, including that the young men of their family, that the men of their family are going to pass away at young age. And even in Abaya's times, this was still in effect, even though it was well over 1,000 years later, and therefore the Gemara mentions in those places, Abaya was Oisik and Toda and Milas Hasadim, and with the schus of that, he lived to be 60 years old. If it hadn't been for that, he would have passed away at a much younger age. Now, Rabibi is Abaya's son, Rabibi Bar Abaya. So therefore, so the Papi is telling him, you come from Muloi, which is, Muloi means like weak, like it's a weak, shaky type family. And therefore, because of that, you're saying shaky things. It actually brings the word Muyos, actually literally means a pile of dirt. So it means, in other words, you're saying something like it's like a hunchback. Like, it actually compares it to a word that means a hunchback. So like you're saying hunchback to you're saying defective things because you come from a family that has that defect of passing away young. There are various other explanations that Rashi himself gives in different places, including one of them is the Oruch elsewhere brings that there was a place called Mamla where many descendants of Eli lived, and therefore he's telling him, you come from that place called Mamla or Mola or whatever where such people live. There's various other explanations. The point is, in all cases, he's telling him that you come from such a family, and therefore you're saying things that are incorrect. Actually, the Oruch brings another explanation that it means the word Muloi can mean great. Can mean big because you're a great person. You're saying something that sounds very great. You're saying something very high flown, but in fact it's not so. Anyway, afilu Rav Papa loy omer ela de islay pseda. Even Rav Papa is only talking about in his case there was a loss because the area where the trees are growing is an area that he could have planted as aspasta instead. Hocha my pseda islah. Here, in your case, Rabibi, what are you losing out over here? This is a rocky ridge where nothing else was going. You weren't planning to plant it anyhow. The fact that the trees grew there is nothing that you should be entitled to any extra compensation for those. Yes, they improved the field, but it has nothing to do with you. And no, you're not entitled, having been a choifer those last few years, to take them. So to summarize the halacha in this, the two of wins then, if trees grew there by themselves, if it's a place, like we said over here, like by the borders, where anyway you wouldn't have planted, then like in the case of Rabibi, you're not entitled to any compensation for them, if they're in a place which is suitable for planting. So if he says, I would have liked to plant something else over there, so then we figure out, if he says that it's good that trees grew over there, and if there hadn't grown trees over there, I would have planted trees over there, then we figure out the value of the trees because then it means he plans to keep the tree over there. If on the other hand, if he says he planned to plant something over there, then we have to figure out, we have to see, would the trees be able to be replanted someplace else? Then, like what Tosfos had said, then you have to give him the value of how much you, the owner of the field, would pay for trees, then for saplings that are going to be replanted someplace else. Otherwise, if they can't be planted anywhere else, then you pay him only the value of them as wood. So the tour, that's the Hagos Hagro is pointing out that the tour is leaving out this whole matter of this whole point that Tosfos had made about whether the trees are weakening the soil more than the equivalent thing that you would have planted over there. So evidently the tour disagrees with Tosfos on that point. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch also when it brings these halachas, it also doesn't bring that distinction. So it's not a distinction of how much nutrients they take out of the soil. It's strictly a difference of whether they would be able to be replanted someplace else or not. So now the Gemara goes on to, now that we've been talking about planting trees, so we talked about the improvements in the land that the Choycha is entitled to. So now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yosef Havaleahu Shasla. Rabbi Yosef had a person who worked for him who was planting trees for him. So the deal would be that this guy would plant the trees and then he would continue to take care of the trees. Rashi says actually specifically we're talking about vineyards. So he would plant vineyards in Rabbi Yosef's land, and his job would be, after he planted them, would be that he would continue as an oris, and he'd get his percentage or half or whatever it is of the payments. Shchir, eventually this guy died, and he left behind five sons in law who also were in this line of work. Omar, sort of Yosef, thinks to himself, up until now I was dealing with only one, but now I would have to deal with five, and therefore that's a problem. Up until now, because it's only one person, he knows he can't leave the job to somebody else. He's going to have to take care of it himself, or else it's not going to get done. So therefore it didn't cause me a loss. Hashta chamisha, now it's five people, the samchu adadi, so is samchu adadi, umafsiduli, so they're going to be relying on one another, and they're going to, and I'm going to end up losing out. There's an expression the Gemara has at the beginning of Erevin that says, kidra the bay shukti, when you have a pot that's owned by partners, loy chamim of loy krira, it's neither hot nor cold, because in other words, when you have something like that, where it's something in common between a bunch of people, then everybody says, let somebody else do it. So here, Rabbi Yosef is concerned that among the five sons-in-law, each one is going to say, I don't have to deal with these, I don't have to deal with these vines. Let one of the others take care of it. And eventually nothing's going to happen. And eventually I'm going to lose out. So therefore, sort of Yosef is saying, therefore I have a valid reason to tell them that the deal is over. Omelahu, sort of Yosef tells them, Ishak litushiv chayhu, if you're each willing to just take the shvach that you get from having inherited from your father-in-law. So in other words, so you can get half of the payrus that grew until now, umistarkitu, and you're going to leave, and then you'll go find a resource someplace else, mutav, then good, the iloi, and if not, if not, then either way, I'm going to fire you, and then you won't get the shvach. So in other words, either way, the job is over here. And Rabbi Yosef is actually not telling them, the fact is, even if it's only one person, he'd be entitled to do it, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. But in this case, because he wanted to, like, be in the key of Mashem and Yisrael, he wanted to tell them, as a Midas Chassidus, that if it was just one of you, then I wouldn't have minded, but because it's five, and there's an actual potential for Hefzid over here, therefore I have every right, lahalocha, to fire you, so it's up to you, are you willing to go willingly, and then you can take your shvach or not. The reason why he can do that, the Omer of Yehuda, the Itamer of Huna, the Itamer of Nachman, because of Yehuda or of Huna, or some say of Nachman said, Hai Shasla the Shochiv, when this kind of person, a planter who passed away, like in this case, Yoshim Bidev, Stark of Lehuva Loshracha, when it comes to his heirs, the owner of the land can send them away without even giving them the Shvach. Because you can say, I only made a deal with your father, and the deal doesn't extend to you. So here, Rabbi Yosef is saying, I'm willing to go to Fnim Mishuras Hadin and give you the Shvach, but I'm not entitled, I'm not required to do any more than that. However, the Gemara says, V'lav Milsehi, however, that's not actually correct. In fact, it's considered like any other Yerusha, and they are, in fact, entitled to a Shvach. Now, what is the Gemara, that when we say V'lav Milsehi, we don't mean the entire statement is incorrect. We just mean it is true, and after all, we have that the Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Huna or Rabbi Nachman had said something on it, but they had said that it is correct, that he can fire them. What the Gemara means is v'lav milseh, he means it's incorrect that he doesn't have to give them the shvach. The fact is, he's going to have to give them the shvach no matter what, because it's considered like any other yerusha. Okay. Speaking of planters, the Gemara tells another story involving one. There was a planter who told the owner of the field, Imach Sidina, if I cause damage by not planting or by not taking care of the vines properly, Misalakna, then I'm willing to leave on my own. And So sure enough, Afsid. So sure enough, there was loss. He didn't take care of the vines properly, and there was loss over here. So Rashi points out there was a certain degree of shvach. It's not like it was completely lost. There was some shvach. When he said I'm willing to leave, means he was willing to forego that shvach. So now in the end. So Afsid, sure enough, there was a loss, so there was Shvach, but on the other hand, there was loss as well. Omer Rav Yehuda, Mistalak B'loi Shvach, so Rav Yehuda says, he forfeits the Shvach, because that's what he said. When he said Mistalakna, means that I will leave without the Shvach at all. Rav Kahana Omer, Mistalak B'shokel Shvach, Rav Kahana says, no, he does have to leave, because that's what he said, but he does get the Shvach. However, the Gemara says, "Umoyde Rav Kahana, di omer ipsidnim stalaknim loy shvacha." However, Rav Kahana will agree if he explicitly said that if there's a loss, then I'm willing to leave without shvach. Well, then mistalak loy shvacha. Well, then we can hold him to his word, even though there is shvach, we can still take it away from him because he said that he's willing to forego it. On the other hand, Rava omer asmachti. Rava says even that not. That would still be considered an asmachta. That would be, in other words, that he's making a condition which is not. It's not in his power fully to fulfill, because to a certain extent it depends on circumstances, and where he's exaggerating what's gonna be as a result of it, and therefore Rava says this is considered an asmachta, asmachta leikanya, so therefore it's not a valid kinyan, so therefore he doesn't lose because of that. Well, the Gemara asks, so the Rava Mai Shnah Mehod Itznan, what about, we learned earlier in our parak, we had, how is it different than the case in that Mishnah, where a choicher says, im over, if I leave the ground fallow and I don't plant it, v'loy eved, and I don't work the land, ashalam b'metva, then I will pay metav, I will pay the best of what that land could have produced, and that's not considered an asmachta. So why here are we considering it an asmachta? The answer is hosam ma'id afsid mashalim. The difference is there he's paying exactly what he caused the loss. There would have been a crop there, and therefore he's paying for how much there would have been, how much the crop would have been worth. So he pays the average value of a crop, or the best possible crop that would have grown there according to different Rishonim. But the point is that exactly parallels what he caused the owner to lose by not working the field. Here what we have to deduct the amount of the hefsid, the idach yavin and lay, but still if there's any shvach left over after that, we still have to give it to him. And to not give it to him would be an asmachta, and Rava is saying you can't do that. Tosfos points out elsewhere, by the way, the hefsid over here means that because of his failure to do the job properly, therefore it's not just something that he can undo afterwards, as the Gemara is going to go on to say over here. What he did is an irrevocable thing, meaning because of him, the vines are not growing as big and as great as they otherwise would have. So this is not something that you can undo afterwards. So that brings us to the next piece of the Gemara over here. Runya Shasva de Ravina Hava. Runya, that was his name, was the Shasva of Ravina. So he was hired by Ravina to do this kind of thing, to plant trees for him, trees or vineyards or whatever, and manage them for him. Afsid. So one time Runya caused a loss, and again the vines are not growing as well as they should have. Salke, so Ravina fired him. Also, came to Rava. So Runya came to Rava. Omalei, Chozimar, my father, and he says, "Look, Rebbe, look what Ravina did to me." Omalei, so Rava tells him, "What's the problem?" Shapur Omer, he did correct. He's entitled to fire you under such conditions. Omalei, Hale Hisravi. So Runya says, "But he didn't give me a warning. How can he fire me without warning like that?" Omalei, Loit Sricha. So Rava tells Runya, "It wasn't actually necessary for him to warn you." Because you're considered under permanent warning, basically. Rava l'taymei, Rava is going according to his svara. The Omer Rava, because Rava says there's a whole bunch of jobs where when a person causes a loss, it's an irrevocable thing. It can't be undone afterwards, and therefore we don't say they need a warning. Therefore we say that they're considered already pre-warned, and if they cause a loss, then they can be fired without notice. So Rava says, the Omer Rava, makri dardiki, a teacher of children, a melamed of children. So now Rashi explains that the problem with a melamed is that he's teaching them. If he teaches them something wrong, then they remain with that mistake forever. There's actually Gemara in Bava Basra that tells about a story involving Yoav, the David's general, that turns on that point, that he learned something wrong the first way, and that error persisted even when he was an adult. Tosfos actually points out that the Gemara says they are not necessarily. The child may eventually realize that he was taught wrongly and then come to teach it right. The reason why we're calling it over here an irrevocable damage, though, is because the time that the teacher wasted teaching him wrong is not something that time can't be recovered. So therefore, in that sense, then it's what the Gemara calls pseid v'loy hoder. It's an irrevocable loss. Anyway, so a teacher, shasla, and a planter, what we're talking about over here in our Gemara, tabcha, a shochet, where if he shechts an animal wrong, does shchita or bdika wrong, then it's an irrevocable thing. Umna, or an umna. Rashi over here translates an umna means a moyo. Earlier in Shas, earlier in the previous perek, we had this word umna as well, and Rashi there explains it mean a blood letter. Anyway, the sapper mosa and the barber of the city. So again, we had also on Daf Tzadik Zayin, we had this list as well. Rashi brought it in a different context over there, and there were a few different possibilities. Does it mean a barber, or does it mean a sofer of the city? And if we say a sofer of the city, does it mean that he write the one who writes Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos for them, or does it mean the one who writes legal documents for them? So all of them, and Daf Tzadik Zayin, Rashi had defined Sapper means the barber, but there were other Mephoshim who explained that it meant a sofer. Anyway, so Rava says, Kulam Kemuspin V'Oinim Dami, all of them are considered as though they're pre-warned, all of them are constantly under notice, so therefore if they cause loss, then you're allowed to fire them right away without any further notice. So therefore, Rava is telling Runya, you're in the same situation. Klala de Milsa, the bottom line is, the general rule is, Kolp Seda de Lehader, any irrevocable loss, like all these people, where the loss they cause is not something that can be undone afterwards, Kamusrin, but Ainim Dami, then they're considered as though they're already pre-warned, and therefore you don't need to give them any further, warning, so you can fire them, you can fire them as is. Another case involving a shasla, hahu shasla de amalahu, there was one of these planters who told the owner of the land where he had been working, hobul di shvachoi, he says, give me my shvach, I want out from the job early, I want to make aliyah, I want to move to Eretz Yisrael. So let's figure out how much my shvach is, and I won't continue the job over here, instead I'm leaving voluntarily, and you'll have to find somebody new. But the owners didn't want to give it to him. Also, Kameh did a Papa Bashmul, so the case came for a Din Torah to the Papa Bashmul. Amalahu, so the Papa tells him, Hovele Shvachi, you have to give him a Shrach. Amale Rava, but Rava says to the Papa, why are you telling him that they have to give him the entire, it sounds like you're saying they have to give him the entire Shvach. Why? Ihu Ashvach Arlei Ashvach. Did only he cause the improvement to the ground, and the ground itself factor into it as well. So in other words, he's not entitled to the entire shvach, he would get only a percentage. Amalei, so the Papa says, you're right, I'm not pogged the shvach, I didn't mean that he should get the entire shvach, I meant he should get half of it. Half of it would be for his labor and everything, and half of it would be for the fact that it's the landowner's land. Amalei, but Rava still says to the Papa, Ad ha'idna, have a shock of balabayas pauga, a shasla pauga. Yes, but up until now, the owner is getting half and the shasla is getting the other half. Hashta, now you have to factor in kaboy la mesa, manosa la arisa. Now, this guy is leaving early. Now the owner of the land is going to have to get a new oris to continue working the land, and that the new artist is usually going to get one third. So it comes out the Balabais is going to be losing out in the future. Like this he would have gotten every year half of it. Now out of his half he has to pay one third of the crop to a new artist. So he's losing out. So you can't say that the old shasla, the one who wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, should get the entire half. So the Papa answers, you're right. River to Shvacha Kamina. What I mean is that the Shasla should be entitled to one quarter of the Shvach. Now, why dafka one quarter? Sover of Ashi Lameimar. Rav Ashi thought to say that when Rav Papa Bashmul, by the way, is not the same as Rav Papa regular in Shas. Rav Papa regular in Shas is a Talmud of Rava, Rava wouldn't be asking him why he's doing that. He would just be telling him what the halacha is. This Rav Papa Bashmul is a colleague of Rav. So Rav Ashi thought to say that when we say a quarter, what we mean really mean is viva dehu danka. What we mean is a quarter, which is actually really one sixth. Meaning, in other words, you have to figure out you have to deduct the fact that he would have to pay one third to an artist from now on. The shasla, the one who planted them and is managing them, would get a half. A regular artist who's managing vines that are already growing would get one third. So Rav Ashi thought to say, we first have to deduct that one third. of the shvach, because that one third is going to go to the oris. Now, out of the remaining shvach, we would have to figure out, and we would have to divide it, and we would say that the original shasla gets one quarter of what's left, which would be one sixth of the entire shvach. So in other words, Rashi said, let's say the total shvach was six dinarim, so two of them are going to go to the new oris, that leaves four. So now it sounds like the old shasla is going to get one dinar. So one quarter of what the balabas would get, which is one sixth of the total shvach. And the reason is the omer of Ramanyumi, Breda Rav Nachumi, as we find that Ramanyumi, the son of Rav Nachumi, said, Ba'asra the shokel shasla palgava risa tilta, in a place where you have exactly that kind of arrangement, where a shasla who plants them and manages them from then on, whoever is going to get half. And oris, who's only working on an already planted vineyard, is going to get only one third. Then high shasla, the boy leis taluki, then exactly that. If the shasla wants to leave the job, we give him the shvach, and then he can leave. He hated le namtia hefsa, the balabais, and we have to work it out in a way that the balabais won't suffer a loss. So it sounds like, therefore, the only way to do that would be to give him the one out of the four. So therefore, in other words, so now the balabais is going to be paying two out of six to a new oris. He's going to keep three for himself, which is half, which is the amount that he would have gotten if this guy had stayed on the job. And the one remaining is what he gives to the old shasta. So in other words, you have to figure, based on what Ramanyumi is saying, if you say that the old shasla is entitled to a quarter of what the balabais is getting, which is one-sixth of the total shaper, well, then it works out nicely. Eli Amit Riva Mamish, but if you say that it means that he gets literally a quarter of the shvach, meaning one and a half out of six, then that's no good. Kamati Lip Sega La Balabais. Comes out the Balabais, losing out. Pauga Danka. He's losing out. 1/12. The Danka means a sixth. So Pauga Danka, half of that would be 1/12. Because in other words, if we would say, if the total shvach is six, like this, the Balabais should have gotten three, and the Shasla would have gotten three. That was the arrangement all this time. Now that the Shasla is leaving, if you give him one and a half, and now he's having to pay two to a new Oris, because that's the deal, an Oris usually gets one third, then he's paying out three and a half. He's only getting two and a half instead of the three, so he's losing out 1/12. He's losing out half a dinner out of a six that he should have gotten, which is 1/12. So it's logical, we have to say then that when Rav Papa said one quarter, he meant one quarter of what the balabais is getting. However, omelet of achabed Rav Yosef Rav Ashi, the lemalay, so why can't, on the other hand, why can't the shasla say to the owner of the land, listen, you know what, you take your half that you're entitled to, you give the share to the artist who's going to be working it from now on. So I should in fact be entitled to a quarter. You can give the artist his portion out of your portion. In other words, as far as my quarter, I'll hire a new artist to take care of that. So in other words, why can't he say that the half that, like this, it would have had to be half that I would be required to take care of half of it and you the other half. So now what we say is, yes, I should be entitled to a quarter. You're going to keep three quarters of the vineyard and out of that, you'll give one third to the artist as usual. So therefore, so you're getting the half. And as far as my portion, the quarter that I would be entitled to, I'll sell it to somebody else. And that somebody else will take it over and work it as the owner of the field. As far as you want to buy it from him, then fine. Then you're going to be getting it from him. If you give it to an artist, then you'll have, you'll still be able to get, you'll still end up getting two thirds out of it. So in other words, at this point, the balabais is not losing anything because he's still getting the same amount as before. He's telling him that you give the part of the vineyard that would have been mine all this time. Instead, I can sell the rights to that to somebody else, And then if you then want to buy it from that person, then you'll be able to have, from now on, you'll get your 2/3 as you usually would with an artist. In other words, let me wash my hands of the whole thing at all, but why am I not entitled to a full quarter? Why am I entitled only to 1/6 of the total shvach? Omar said, Ashi says, I see you ask very short questions. When we come to Zvachim, which is very difficult topics, Tova actually then come and ask me questions. So in other words, what does that mean? Rashi says, the first explanation Rashi says is he's saying, you know what, I see, I'm very impressed. You have a very good, short question. You're right. I undo what I said before, that it would be Viva Jehudanka, and I do agree with what you're saying, in effect, that it should be a quarter, or that it should be a quarter, that it should be entitled to the full quarter. Rashi brings a second explanation that Rav Ashi is telling him, you know what, come back and ask me when it comes to Zvachim. In other words, I'm not paying attention to your question right now. Rashi doesn't like that explanation because, first of all, why indeed? It is a good question after all. It is a very good question. And the fact that the Gemara says Sover of Ashi Lameimer, that Rav Ashi thought to say, implies that he thought to say originally it means Riva Jehudanka, but then based on what Rav Acha is telling him, he changed his mind, and evidently if he changed his mind, means he considered it a good question, so therefore he means when you come to Shittas Kodshim, meaning in other words that I can't wait till we get to Zvachim to hear your good questions then, because I see that now also you have good questions. So according to that, then that would be how it comes out, then in the end, that in fact he is entitled to the full quarter, not just to one quarter of what the Balabas is keeping, which would be 1/6 of the total, but rather he'd be entitled to one full quarter, because again, he can argue to the Balabas that I'll sell my portion to somebody else, and if you then go and buy it from him, then in the future, Then in the future you'll get your 2/3 as you're supposed to. On the other hand, Shulchan Aruch actually does bring according to Rav Ashi's original thing, even though the Gemara doesn't actually say explicitly that Rav Ashi changed his mind. If it's Sofer Rav Ashi Lameimer, and therefore so it can be explaining more like the way Rav Ashi said originally, and therefore that in fact Rav Ashi's original statement Riva Dehudanka stands, even though Rav Acha pointed out that there could be a counter argument there. Continues the Gemara. Gufa. So getting back to what we said before, Amar of Manumi Breder Nachumi, but Asur the Shokel Shasla Palga. We said that in a place where a shasla usually gets half of the value of the field, half of the shvach rather, but orisa tilta, and the oris gets 1/3. Then we said hi shasla the boy is to lufi. Then we said that if the shasla wants to leave the job, yavin le shvach, then we give him his appropriate amount of shvach. Again, according to Rav Ashi, that would be in the scenario that we just said, we would give him 1/6 of the total shvach, which is 1/4 of what the Balabais is getting, whereas according to Rav Acha Breder of Yosef, he might get an actual quarter. And then he can leave. Because we want to arrange it in a way that the Balabais doesn't lose out, because again, he's going to have to hire an oris from now on. So, in this connection, the Gemara says, Amar of Manyumi, Breder of Nachumi, Kufa Sova, when you have in the vineyard, if you have an old vine, so which is not producing fruit anymore, then Halga, then he gets half of the branches of it, because then that's considered like any other peiros, because that's the deal. You plant vines, they're going to grow for a certain amount of time, eventually they're going to stop producing fruit, and therefore, so just like he's entitled to half of the peiros, the same way he'd be entitled over here to half the vines. Tosfos says that no, actually, where What it is rather the Shasla actually has a certain ownership of the karka itself. So therefore, that would be why he's entitled to half of the dead vine. Not so much because he's entitled to half the peiros, but rather because he's entitled to a certain percentage of the shvach of the land itself. On the other hand, continues Ramanyumi, shot for Nahara. On the other hand, if a river flooded the vineyard, and now because of that, now vines were uprooted from the ground, or whatever. Now you have these vines over here. It's not that they're old and they stopped producing fruit. So now though they got flooded, and now they're coming to divide up the wood. That's the equivalent of the shashla leaving the job. Therefore, Riva, therefore is entitled only to the one quarter. Because it's similar to that case before where he's leaving the job, So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll continue with, I'm actually a little more now, actually. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Ahu gavra the mashkin pardesa l'chavre. There was a person who one time made a mashkin of a vineyard to somebody else, where Reuben had lent Shimon money, and now Shimon made his vineyard mortgage to that loan, la'eser shnin, for 10 years, but cash l'chom shnin, and then after 5 years, the vines got old, and they stopped producing fruit. Now, it's not like it happened prematurely. We're talking about the vines had reached the end of their expected life. So Abaya Amar Peirah, the Abaya says at this point the branches of the dead vines are considered like peiros, therefore the malva can take them. Rav Amar Kaunah, the Rav says no, it's considered the keren, it's considered the principle of the keren, it's not considered like peiros, so therefore the malva can't take them. Therefore, Rava says what you have to do is you have to use the branches, you have to use the wood from the branches to buy a new piece of land. And the malva will continue to eat peiros from them until the end of the 10 years. We learned back in Perek Ezer Neshach, you have different ways that a mashkanta can be arranged to avoid issues of ribis. So here it would have to be that it was one of those methods in the first place where the loan is gradually getting amortized and then paid off over the years. Anyway, the Gemara says, Mesni, I have a contradiction on Abaya. A Braisa describes a case where a person lent somebody else money and they made a mashkanta, and the Braisa says, Yovisha ilane nitzat. If the tree dried up, we learned this earlier in the sixth paragraph, if the tree dries up or if it gets chopped down, shneim asurim, both of them are also in it because neither one is able to take the firewood because then you're using up the keren. Whichever one would take the firewood, it means there's not going to be a keren anymore for the malva to continue eating the peiros from over the years. Kate said, yeah, so what you do, you mochu la'etzim, you sell the wood as wood, the lokach ben karka, you use that money to buy land, v'hu eichel peiros, and the malva continues to eat peiros. So which is more like what Rava is saying over here. Now, my lab, yomish yomia denitzat. Now, when the Braisa mentions over there that the tree dried up or was chopped down, shouldn't we assume that it means that when it dried up, it's similar to being chopped down in the sense, man nitzat mizmane, when you talk about chopped down, means when it was the time to chop it down, because you don't chop down a tree that's producing fruit. First of all, people don't usually do that, and you're not even allowed to do that, la la ha. So niktsats would necessarily have to mean when the tree was already old and not producing fruit. Af yovish vizmane, therefore, presumably, when it talks about that it's dried up, would also mean that it was in its proper time, that it was expected to get old. And we're saying we consider it still to be keren, and we have to use the money to buy land with it, from which the malva will continue to eat peiros, rather than just taking the wood for himself. So that's not like a buyer. The answer is loy nichtaf drumya de yovish. On the contrary, we can say that the braisa means that when it was chopped down is similar to dried up. Ma yovish veloizmane, when we say dried up, is not necessarily that it means that it was old and expected to dry up. We mean that it dried up prematurely, because what Tosfos points out, if it meant that it was in the expected time, it would say hizki. It would imply that it became aged. Instead, it says yovish, which implies that it dried up without us expecting it. So therefore, af nichtas, below zmano, therefore we can say that also chopped down means below zmano, that it happened prematurely. And therefore that, in that case, we say that's not considered keren. And in that case, we say yelokach ben karkov or eichel peres. But that's different than the case we're talking about over here, where the vines were expected to grow old after 5 years. And they did, where their rabbi can say that they were considered, peres. And therefore the malva would be entitled to take that wood itself, rather than that we should continue to use that wood to produce peres with a new piece of field, with a new piece of land. So the Gemara continues. Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. Abraisa says, describing a woman gets a Yerusha from her father, and that property becomes Nichsimalog. If she inherited old grapevines or old olive trees, which are not producing fruit anymore. So if they produce fruit, then they'd be nixim alone. She'd own the goof of them, and the husband would be getting payers from them as usual. But in this case, because they're old and they're not producing fruit anymore, we sell them for wood, and we use that money to buy karka, and the husband eats peiros from them. Again, the idea being, in other words, since we can't get peiros from the trees themselves, then instead the husband gets peiros from selling the wood of the trees and using it to buy new land. Well, so then we're saying over here that she when they were old already. So we see, in other words, that they're considered peiros, like they're considered keren, rather, like Rava says, not peiros, like Abaya would say. So the answer is ema vihizkinu. You'd have to correct the wording of the Braisa, not that she inherited them when they were already old, but rather that they became old prematurely. So now Abaya agrees, again, if they're considered Karen, so therefore, the only way for the husband to be able to have any ownership of them would be a lokach ben karkov or eichel peres, the boyisema, or another possibility, lav mi ukimna lahi, to go into nofla besoda acheres. Didn't we also explain in the relevant Gemara in Ksubas that we're talking about these trees actually belong to a field that these trees are located in a field that belonged to somebody else? So in other words, he had bought the trees. He owns the trees, but not the land. The Kokalia Karna, now the Karen itself stands to be lost, because if we chop down the trees, now that the trees are dead, if we just remove them, then the whole Karen is gone, because the Karen itself is the trees. There's no land over there that she owns. So therefore we have to sell them and use the money to buy Karka. Whereas over here, we're talking about with the Mashkanta, the trees and the land all belong to the owner. And therefore, even if we take the branches and sell them, even if we take the branches and give them to the malva, the keren is not gone, because you still have the land itself available. Tosfos elsewhere talks about, and Tosfos over here talks about different angles on it. For one thing, is that maybe these trees are not completely dry; maybe they are producing a little bit of fruit. But nevertheless, the point is that we're saying that the keren is going to be completely gone, as opposed to, again, in this case of the mashkanta, where they're not, because you have the land itself is still available for the next 5 years. So therefore, we don't have to say, says Abaya, that we should sell the wood and use it to buy new karka. We can continue to have the mashkanta be on this karka itself, and the wood will go to the malva as if it was payless of that. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, talking about more dinim of mashkanta, and then we'll finish off the cases of arusim and chachirim, and go on to new topics, Beis Hashem.
All these agricultural halachas, are they only for Eretz Yisrael?
No, most of them we said apply in Chutz La'aretz as well. Some of them, sometimes we said apply specifically in Eretz Yisrael because of the climatic conditions or the soil condition, or because we have a concept called, we learned in the previous Perek Mishum Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, that we want to promote the growth and settlement of Eretz Yisrael. But other than that, no, many of these cases, for example, the case with Runya and Ravina, and the case with her papa, and some of the other cases that we learned, all took place in Bavel, because that's where these Chachamim live. So they apply anywhere else as well.
Mm-hmm.